turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 21. Our text today will be finishing chapter 21, beginning at verse 11 and down through verse 17. Isaiah 21, 11 through verse 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. An oracle concerning Duma. Someone calls to me from Seir. Watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? The watchman replies, morning is coming, but also the night. If you would ask, then ask, and come back yet again. An oracle concerning Arabia. Caravans of Dedanites who camp in the thickets of Arabia, bring water for the thirsty. You who live in Tema, bring food for the fugitive. They flee from the sword, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the heat of battle. This is what the Lord says to me. Within 1 year, as a servant bound by contract would count it, all the pomp of Kedar will come to an end. Survivors of the bowmen, the warriors of Kedar, will be few. The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you would use that word now for your divine purposes. Lord, use it to change hearts, to convict, to edify and build up your people in the most holy faith. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, through your word, not through the word of the preacher, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make this word sharp, alive, active, to accomplish that for which you send it for. Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice only this day. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. You ever have one of those sleepless nights? Because of sickness or pain or heartache or worry, when the night just never seemed to end, seemed to drag on, and you toss and you churn, you look at the clock, and you toss and turn for hours, and you look at the clock. In reality, only 10 minutes has gone by. I know you have. You just lay there. You're just hoping for morning. Well, this is what Edom and Arabia are experiencing. The prophet mentions these two, and metaphorically, they're waiting for morning. They're looking. The prophet mentions Duma and Dedan, two cities that are far out in the desert, two little oases actually, but that shows how far the domination of Assyria has spread, even a little town out in the desert. Dedan is about 200 miles south of Duma out there in the desert. Even there, the Assyrian domination has spread. Interestingly, Duma means stillness, like the stillness of night, or the utter stillness of death. And speaking of sleepless nights, I find it somewhat interesting that Jacob, when he was returning from his self-imposed exile, when he fled from his brother Esau, who was wanting to kill him, he's at the border of Edom. He's going back to meet Esau. And there at the border of Edom, he has a sleepless night as he wrestles with God. I just wonder, you might ask, how many of your sleepless nights, where it seemed morning would never come, have you spent wrestling with God? Well, Isaiah hears a voice call out to him from Edom, the voice addresses him, we see, as watchman. The watchman of the city had a particular responsibility. His job was to be on watch so everyone else could sleep. So they didn't have to be worried. The watchman was to watch out for the welfare of the inhabitants of the town. So while the city slept, the watchman would be the one who was awake and aware of what was going on. You know, he stood watch as the night of this Assyrian domination, the night of death and enslavement, Assyrian domination was spreading over the whole world. Isaiah stands alone as a watchman. He alone can give the information concerning this terrible invasion. As Hosea wrote, the prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim, that would be Israel. The same thing applies here. The prophet, along with God, is the watchman. He is the one who sounds the alarm to these countries. And the Edomites, I think, by calling out to Isaiah, there's this tacit acknowledgement that he's the representative of the one true God who alone knows the actual state of the world affairs. And so they cry out to the watchman, what time is it? What time is it? In other words, how much longer till morning? How much longer must we endure the domination of Assyria, this oppression that never seems to end? How much longer must we endure this? It's kind of like a sick person, tossing and turning, unable to get comfortable, waiting for blessed relief and really finding only the darkness, stillness of the night while they suffer. So Edom cries out to the prophet, how much longer must we endure this? And it's a persistent question. You see, they repeat it. The question is repeated over and over. This is a cry of suffering people. How much of the night is left? When will it be morning? They've addressed Isaiah as watchman, and now he speaks, look at verse 12, he speaks in the third person as a watchman in order to draw attention to the message, not to himself. The message is very short and to the point. Morning is coming and also night. The world's at the darkness and gloom of the Assyrian conquest already covered the earth. These pronouncements against Edom and Arabia showed the spread of their power. No one was safe. Even a little oasis town out in the desert was conquered. Any place that had people and goods, people who could be taken as slaves, goods that could be appropriated for the Assyrian Empire, they were all targets. None of them were safe. Edom and Arabia were enveloped in this oppressive darkness. And so what does Isaiah mean that there will be morning, but also night? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? The Assyrian domination covers Edom like a dark blanket. But Assyria themselves will be conquered too long by the Babylonians. There will be light for Edom and Arabia that will be followed by the deeper darkness of the Babylonian dominance. The light of morning will be brief. It will not be for all. So, you know, if they want to know the meaning of this, if they wish to know the meaning of this message, they must seek it earnestly. if they want to inquire about how long the night will be, he says, let them inquire. In fact, they're commanded to do so. God is their only hope of deliverance. And the Edomites must look to him if they would be saved. Now, the NIV sort of dilutes the force of the last two words of verse 12, because there's really only two words there. They've made it into kind of a clause, a phrase. But the Hebrew is very abrupt and very emphatic. Return and come. It's as simple as that. Return or turn. That Hebrew word is the central word for the concept of repentance. It's imagery that you've seen me demonstrate on several occasions up here. That's the whole idea of repentance. You're going in a certain direction, and you turn around and go the other direction. You return. That's the word here, turn, return. The Edomites must turn to the Lord. They must come in repentance to him, and then they will be heard. If you would come into the light, you must turn and come. If you're walking in darkness, if you never change direction, if you never make a change, how do you propose to come into the light? The prophet Hosea, again, I'm going to refer to him in chapter 14, the first two verses of that chapter in Hosea. He gives us a great example of what must be done. He says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, forgive our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. There you have it. Return to the Lord. Your sins have been your problem. Your sins have been your downfall. David said to the Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words and return, repent, go to the Lord and say to him, forgive our sins and receive us graciously. God is full of grace and full of mercy for all who will come. Scripture says, whoever comes to him, he will not cast them out. He will not turn them away, that they may offer the fruit of their lips, the praise and adoration to God for his forgiveness, for his great grace. So if you want a model for turning, a model for repentance, a model for turning your life around, model for turning your country around, there it is. Return, come. Repent, come to the Lord. Then the prophet directs his words to those in Arabia, and he mentions those from Dedan and Tema, again to show how far the domination of Assyria would extend. The Assyrians are going to roll over Edom. They're going to roll on over into Arabia. And the picture he presents is one of fugitives fleeing before the Assyrian onslaught. The night, the darkness is overshadowing Arabia. The country is in darkness. Misery and suffering is their lot. You know, in the long hours of the night, there's been a lot of darkness upon this earth. Most of it has come from one when men sought to establish a universal kingdom. The Assyrians were not the first ones to try this. They certainly won't be the last. We know the names of many of Assyria, Rome, Babylon, but Third Reich, just name them. They seek to establish this universal, worldwide kingdom. And, you know, they seek to establish these orders without God. I don't care if it's the fascist or the socialist or the communist or the statist. They all demand loyalty first and foremost to the state or to the king or to the leader or the dictator rather than to God. They set themselves up in opposition to God, and the end is always misery and suffering. And that's what's going on here. The people of Arabia and Edom are the ones who are suffering because of this. The message to Edom, the message by extension to Arabia, the message by extension to all is to repent, to come to the Lord. Did they return? The answer is no. The result was a long night, a night that never seemed to end. The end is coming. The answer is given here. It's an answer of sadness. The end is coming in 1 year, he says. A very specific time. It's an end without hope. All they enjoyed, come to an end. The power of the Assyrians was to grow more and more. Edom and Arabia will sink deeper and deeper into darkness. Then the power of Assyria will be broken, a little glimmer of light, only to be followed by the even deeper darkness of the Babylonian conquest. So, the future holds for these people both hope and judgment. In the immediate context, relief from the Assyrians would come one day, but only to be followed by a greater darkness, a greater domination of the Babylonian Empire. And the result would be, as the prophet says, only a few would survive. Only a few will be saved. You know, it's interesting that indeed light did come to this part of the world. Light came to Judah, and the Son of God was manifest in the flesh. He was the light of the world. He would be mourning for all who would come. There would have been mourning for Edom. There would have been mourning for them. But they failed to recognize that. As a matter of fact, it was an Edomite by the name of Herod who sought to extinguish that light by killing all the little babies in Bethlehem that were less than 2 years old in an effort put out the light. And Edom and Arabia rejected the light. And finally, it wasn't Assyria, it wasn't Babylon. A far greater darkness settled over them. The darkness of Islam covered the Arabian Peninsula has for 1,500 years, and millions upon millions of people have been cast into outer darkness. They would not come to the light. And the future of mankind today holds hope. There's the light of morning for some, and there's night. There's outer darkness for many. Jesus himself told Nicodemus, this is the verdict. This is the verdict. Light, with a capital L. Light has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You know, there's repeated in Scripture over and over the great distinction between light and dark. The darkness of death and sin and hell, and the light of life, heaven, and joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, Paul, right, the church says, "You are all sons of light. We do not belong to the night, to the darkness." In Revelation 21, in describing heaven, says there will be no night there. But Jesus constantly describes hell and the place where the unfaithful and the unprepared and the unrepentant go. I mean, there's plenty of examples. Just look at Matthew 8, Matthew 22 and 25. The unfaithful, the unprepared, the unrepentant go. And Jesus describes it as darkness, outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's an old hymn by Horatius Bonar says that out of darkness into light, Jesus calls the sons of night. Out of midnight into day, Jesus bids us come away. Jesus bids us, just as Isaiah implored the Edomites and the Dedanites and others, come, repent. But you remember, they had a very specific time to come. One year. Did they? Only a few were saved. If you're here today and you're in the darkness, if you're weighed down with agony and restlessness, waiting for morning, Jesus bids you to come. Come to him. Come to the light. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Trust in him. We read it earlier this morning. In him there is no darkness at all. But you too have a very specific time in which to come. I wish I could tell you that it was 1 year. I can't. I can't tell you that. It might be 1 year. It might be 10 years. It might be one day. But I can tell you what the Lord says. I can tell you what the Lord says. Paul, the Lord speaking through him, said, "I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you invite us into the light of your presence through Jesus Christ, through whom we can have forgiveness, to whom we can turn in repentance, cry out to him. You promised he will never turn us away. All who come find the light of life, eternal life. every person. He's given that the man wants to die, didn't he, face the judgment? We know not when that time may be, the time fixed by you. We just pray that you would help us to hold forth this word and shout it from the tops of the hills and the mountains. Come, repent. There is forgiveness in Christ. Lord, help us as your church to hold forth this great word of truth for your glory and honor. Praise things in Christ's name for our sake.